Welcome inside a special edition of the Steve Peichel podcast brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health. Rutgers on their way to the NCAA tournament, taking on Clemson in the first round Friday night at 9:20 Eastern, and joined now by the star of the podcast himself, Steve Peichel. Coach, how are you doing, sir?
We just took our second COVID test. We're quarantining here. Love and happy to be in Indianapolis. I talked to our players last night and I said, this beats last year, you know, at this time. And I'm thankful the NCAA has been able to put together this protocol to have this tournament. And as grueling as the year has been, you know, we've done an unbelievable job of navigating all the different obstacles of our league play and injuries and COVID. And, you know, to be here is really exciting, and have a chance to play, you know, for a national championship is something that, you know, when I took the job 5 years ago, it was a goal that was very far away at that point in time. And the last 2 years, we probably achieved that goal, but didn't get to enjoy it last year. So thankful, and thankful for my staff and all the great people that are part of Rutgers Athletics that have done an unbelievable job getting us here.
The season's far from over for sure, but you know, through all these games, you mentioned the staff, the job they've done. When you look back at your coaching career, given what's happened beyond basketball, has this been the most challenging year for you as a head coach, would you say?
Not even close. Yeah. I mean, it's everything that you know, you want kids to come to college to enjoy college and the environment, and you want them to certainly enjoy basketball, and part of that's the environment at the RAC and the excitement around the program. You want them to be happy. You want them also to have escapes from basketball. The season's really long. You want them to be able to go bowling or go to a concert. You want them to be able to see their family. I mean, they gave up Christmas. They can't see their families. They can't see their friends. You know, every day they come to practice, I have a list of things they can't do. So, you know, and same thing with your staff. I mean, they've had to be in the bubble too, all year long. I mean, you know, so I think today was 120th straight day of testing or something like that. So every single day you're tied to, you know, that. So it's been very trying, and I'm just thankful for, you know, our guys for playing away. We never had one break. I don't know how many teams can say that. Every game went off. We never had a pause in our program, and that's a real credit to the guys and the sacrifices that they made.
Yeah, no question. And I heard you on a radio interview last night, and one of the clips I played and was listening to was you talking about how, at least as different as everything has been for the guys, A, this is the reward for it and their hard work, and they get the extra tournament and they're in the NCAAs. But B, when they come to practice, it's probably the most normal thing that they do in the course of their day. And I guess that goes, you know, a long way for their mental health, and they get that break from what's happening in the world. And was it that noticeable throughout the season, or was it something you picked up on right away when you got them in the gym?
You know, you noticed it right away because, you know, when they came back, they had been quarantined at home, or, you know, they were limited in what they could do. I think they were just really excited to be able to run around the gym without a mask on, and, you know, to be with other players that were tested and they knew, you know, didn't have the virus. And, you know, I think it was an escape for them, you know, too, you know, from their phones and from all the monotony of what COVID life has become. So you could see that on their faces, but you could also see on their faces when, you know, we had some tough games and, you know, there's no real escape from that. And, you know, the phone, you know, the criticism that you get. And this too, Jerry, as you know, this has been a 2-year journey for this program, you know, and I don't think anyone realized that last year never really ended. You know, end of last year, we had to win every game. We had to win every game on the road. You know, they went through that all last year. And then this year was just a repeat of the same thing. So I really give our guys, you know, a ton of credit for continuing to plug through and to break a 30-year drought, which they had nothing to do with, but they certainly heard about it for a long time. You know, real happy. And by the way, we did it with, you know, great kids and, you know, 16, 3.0 grade point averages, guys starting foundations, guys going to grad school, guys making the dean's list, you know, so they've done a great job, you know, with their other responsibilities too, which nobody really talks about. They talk about shots going in and rebounds, but they are student athletes too. And I'm proud of that, those achievements just as much.
No question. This portion of the Steve Pikel podcast brought to you by All American Ford in Old Bridge, the number one Ford dealership in New Jersey. Shop online at allamericanfordinoldbridge.com. How different is this week for you as you start to prepare? You had the two games last week at the Big Ten tournament, but you were in the same city. From what I understand, you had to move and change hotels. You're quarantining as we tape this. What does the week look like for you, and how different is it from a normal week?
Yeah, it's very different, but you know, it was great the way the NCAA handled it. We went to Indianapolis Motors, you know, Speedway. We're able to watch the selection show by, you know, privately, and, you know, unbelievable experience for our guys. And then we were whisked off to a hotel we didn't know prior to. And so now we're in our quarantine time. And so we're figuring out our opponent. We got a lot of time to spend, you know, on Clemson and what we need to prepare for. And then tomorrow we'll be able to, you know, get them out. And, you know, it's the same thing too, you know. You can't take them to see some of the great sights here in the city. You can't, you know, go to a restaurant and do that. But, you know, we'll be here in the hotel and we'll be focused, and we'll try to get them up and around as much as we can. But we're not able to leave the hotel, you know, and it is very different, but it's also very exciting. And I said to our guys the you know, last year we were home at this time, you know what I mean? And there was no tournament. And these are the sacrifices that you've made for Gio and Miles and Mamadou Doucouré for the last 4 or 5 years, you know, and we just got to make a few more sacrifices here to have a great experience and be a part of something that is very hard to get to, you know, and I've been a coach for a long time. And I tell players, once you get there, like, don't take it for granted. It's not every year that you get a chance, you know, to do this. And I said, there's not that many at-large bids. There really aren't. There's schools that have gone for 25 straight years. So before the season, those schools are sometimes already in the tournament, you know. And so to get this opportunity, we're excited about it. And I'm also challenging our guys, like, what are you going to do with this opportunity?
And you break a streak of 30 years at Rutgers, having not gone to the tournament. Have you given yourself a moment to wonder or think about why, you know, when you took the job, you said you were going to do this and you did it last year, but I know officially not because of the tournament being canceled. If I asked you why you have succeeded in this job so far at Rutgers, what would be your answer?
Well, I mean, President Holloway, Pat Hobbs, you know, Brandon Knight, Carl Hobbs, you know, Steve Hain. I mean, you succeed because you have good people around you. There's a good vision from the top. Thankful, you know, we got into the Big Ten, but also people need to realize it's the elite conference in all of college sports, you know, too. And we have 9 teams in. We had 12 ranked this year out of 14. So it's great to be in that company. That tells you what an elite academic institution Rutgers is. Very challenging. And so you need people that understand and have that same and have a little patience. I mean, patience isn't a big word nowadays in athletics at all. Right. Everything today in this minute, and the microwave heats up the food and you eat in 5 minutes. Sometimes you have to build some things and put some things in place. And I'm lucky, you know, my staff and I'm lucky the vision from above is that they want great students, they want good kids, and we're competing at the highest level in athletics too, with the challenges that come with that. But Jerry, most excited for Rutgers Nation, you know, there's great people. And the reasons I took the job, I heard there were great people. You don't know it till you live it. Great people, great students. I mean, I only wish this year the students could enjoy this, because Indianapolis would be packed with Rutgers people. And the rack would have been packed this year, you know, and, you know, they can enjoy it, you know, from afar, but wish they really got to embrace it and enjoy it from here. But maybe that's for another year.
I tell you, I got to look back to some of the big plays and games over the last 4 years. And a lot of them, you know, were at the rack, whether it was Seton Hall, Nebraska, Northwestern, some of the big comebacks. And it's almost chilling to see the crowd and hear it. I know it's through a video, but you can still sense it. And I guess we kind of got numb to being in these arenas with no one around. What was forget the game and the way the game went, but what was Friday night like in terms of being in that big stadium, but having a lot of the Illinois faithful back? Because you could tell on TV as we were doing the game off the monitor, you could hear their presence. Did it feel, you know, energizing again to have a significant amount of people back in front of you?
Well, you know, even from the first night when we played Indiana, there were 8,000 Indiana people there. So they weren't cheering for us, but, you know, they were certainly cheering for their team. But you started getting that a little bit of that feel back. And, you know, I think our guys kind of enjoyed that. And then the next night was all Illinois, too. So, you know, we played two road games, you know, but it was nice, you know, to have people back in the stands. And I think, you know, headed in that direction, you know, moving forward would be an unbelievable thing. And hopefully we can get this pandemic under control and, you know, next year get back to really enjoying it. And I think people enjoy it more next year because they haven't been able to go to games and they realize now what, you know, they're missed out on. And, you know, I'm hopeful. And I know one thing too, Jerry, the guys play better when their fans are in the stands. It's just, it's youth. I mean, you can understand that too. Some of the games with no energy in the gym and you do the starting lineup and there's no one there to clap. It just is really a different feel and a different motivation than having students on campus talking about the game and wanting tickets for the game. And you're hearing that for 2 or 3 days. It, you know, it helps really with your energy and motivation, you know, to play great. And we had to bring our own energy, our own motivation, you know, all season. And you know, sometimes that's a difficult thing the longer the season goes.
Yeah, remarkable how well a lot of the kids have done with it. The Steve Pikiell podcast brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health. A couple more before we get to Clemson. In terms of the week, the importance of David Van Dyke and Richard Campbell is, I mean, we don't need to say, we know how important they are. But a week like this, where you guys haven't played now since Friday, you're stuck in your hotel today as we tape this on a Monday. Their job to me, I think, gets elevated because, right, they probably have extra work to be done to get these kids ready. I know you have a lot of confidence in them. How much more important is their job starting tomorrow when they get to start seeing the kids again?
I mean, you know, it's been vital all year long and, you know, mental health too, as big as anything during this, you know, during this pandemic. But Dave does a great job. You know, hopefully we get the clearance, you know, sometime later on today. We're going to try to get them moving around and hopefully get over to a practice site at least, you know, get their bodies moving. We had a great practice yesterday. That's why we went a little bit longer yesterday than we normally do, knowing that we were going to have a couple days. Hopefully these will, you know, give their bodies a chance to refresh and feel better. And tomorrow we're going to have a long practice. And you know, but tonight we'll get them moving around, hopefully once we get the clearance and maybe get a little lifting in. And Dave does a great job of taking care of their bodies along with Rich. So, you know, we just have to go through the obstacles that this has brought now. It's not, nothing's normal. Timing isn't normal, you know, but we'll manage it and we'll do it with a smile.
And you as a player were able to do this. And of course, it's Stony Brook. Have you been able to relay those stories to some of the guys? I know it's different, but it's at the end of the day, it's the NCAA tournament and you've got the experience both as a player and a coach.
You know, it's kind of funny. I mean, one of the reasons, you know, all the places that I've coached at, I've wanted kids to experience March Madness. You know, it was one of the best times and experiences as a student athlete that I've had, you know, and my journey in coaching is to give that same experience that I had to student athletes now. And I'm more excited for them that they get to experience, you know, March Madness. They get to sit in that room and hear your name called. And they get a chance to come on these stages and to showcase all the great things that they're doing basketball wise and in life too. And I talked to them and it's a kind of ironic, Jerry, 30 years ago, the last time Rutgers played in the tournament was my last year playing in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, and one of our players said they didn't even know if they had basketball back in those days. 30 years ago, and to these kids, it's 150. I said, yeah, we actually did play basketball, and it wasn't a peach basket either. You know, basketball, but that's how long ago 30 years is to 19-year-old. You know, but I was able to share with them, you know, the fondest memories about it, you know, that I had, and I want them to have those same kind of memories. And when you get into the tournament, you also realize how hard it is to do that. And there's nothing guaranteed moving forward. So take advantage of the situation you have. I always tell them, be where your feet are today, and don't assume. I think some programs could probably assume every year they get there. That's what, but certainly not the jobs that I've ever gotten. And so enjoy where your feet are, take the most out of those advantages, and prepare yourself. And these guys will do that. We got enough veteran guys. We got enough guys that have been through this journey to get us here, and they'll appreciate, you know, staying longer.
And I imagine you guys play Clemson Friday night, the Steve Peichel podcast brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health. Clemson Friday night, 9 p.m. Of course, you get the late window. Shocking. I was hoping for the noon start myself, but whatever. As soon as is when that when your name goes up on the board on CBS like it did on Sunday night, and you see Clemson and then you see Rutgers underneath, is that the first inkling you guys get that that's who you're playing? Are you in the dark like the rest of us, or do they give you a little bit of a heads up?
No, you're in the dark. So when you saw it for the first time, that's when we saw it for the first time, and had no idea. You know, they talk a lot about this seed and that seed, and you know, I think all those things are done pretty much at the last moment, where your seed is and who your opponent is. But yeah, we didn't know anything other than we felt very comfortable. We were going to hear our names called, and that's a good feeling too, Jerry. So we felt very comfortable at that, and we were excited, you know, and quite honestly, I'm excited, you know, to play someone else not from the Big Ten. We've played two games out of 26 in the best league in the country. So every team knew every play we're running. We knew every play they were running. Everyone knows everyone's tendencies, everyone, you know, just looking forward to playing somebody new and have a ton of respect. I mean, Clemson's really good. I mean, Alabama, beating Purdue, beating Maryland, playing in the ACC. You know, Brad is an excellent coach. So ton of respect for them, but it'll be fun to just play somebody else.
I asked that to Geo Baker. I asked him the same question. I said, you know, 24 games, or rather 20 games in the regular season, Big Ten out of 24, a couple of games in the tournament. At this stage of the season, you don't usually see a team from out of conference, and yet it's a team from the ACC. How quick do you get to work on that, and at what point is the game plan installed? I mean, does everybody jump on Clemson immediately as that name goes up?
Yeah, I mean, everyone does. You know, everyone's focused on this, and you know, we had a game plan, you know, well before Selection Sunday. It's just you're waiting on the opponent. And so we've already dug in and, you know, get ready to start preparing. And then tomorrow we'll really start implementing, you know, what we need to do. But yeah, all hands are on deck. And the good part of being quarantined is there's nothing else going on. So everyone help. And, you know, I got a great staff, and that's been a huge part of the building of Rutgers basketball.
What type of team, I'll be honest with you, aside from Big Ten basketball, I haven't seen much. So I'm looking at box scores and starting to read game recaps of this team. And I see, you know, 65 points per game they score. That's not exactly what Illinois has done. Who would you compare this team so far to what you've seen? Are they more of a defensive team, slow, methodical? I imagine only 65 points a game. Is that about right?
Yeah, I mean, they're as physical a team as there is in the country. Their defense is elite, probably one of the top 10 defensive teams in the country. Elite ball pressure. They have Amir Sims is their five man. He's a unique five man. He shoots threes. He can step out. He's not your typical, you know, five man around the basket. They have two guards, Nick Honor and Al Dawes, who can really shoot the three. You know, they finished fifth place in the ACC, which is, you know, a really – you know, really good league. And he has led three teams, Wright State, UNC Wilmington, and Clemson to the NCAA tournament. Excellent. They're excellent. They beat Alabama, and, you know, Alabama's a two seed. They beat Purdue, who you know how good Purdue is, and Maryland. Yep. They remind me a lot, you know, quite honestly, of Maryland, but they're more full court defense, full court. They remind me, you know, great, great defensively. Don't mind winning the game in the 40s or 50s. Like, you know, tough as nails, you know, a really good opponent. And like I told our players, everybody that gets into this tournament has won their way into this tournament. So, you know, you're going to have to play great basketball on both sides of the ball. And they're a 7 seed. We're a 10. So that tells you what people think of their program. So we got our work cut out for us. You know, our guys, I think they're excited about the opportunity and the chances that are right in front of us.
You know, it's funny. You talk about Sims. He can shoot the three, and I'm looking at his numbers, and I see 41%. And we were just talking about how the players, you know, think back to when you played, like it was basketball. And, you know, the funny answer to that is no. I mean, to mention that big guys step out and shoot the three with the precision they do at this stage, when you were playing back in the late 80s and early 90s, did big guys, they didn't step out and shoot like this ever. It just changed so much.
Not, you know, again, we had the peach basket too, Jerry, according to my guys. So we, you know, we had Dikembe Mutombo. I remember playing in our league, and Alonzo Mourning, and they threw the ball inside and that was it. Real physical play. But I think the college game evolves as the pro game evolves. You know, the pros now used to have those big post-up guys, and now they don't even draft those guys. They draft the guys who shoot threes, you know. Yeah. So I think, you know, things have changed. Times have changed, you know, and everyone wants to shoot threes. So it's a part of basketball. And Clemson's a good three-point shooting team. They have a lot of weapons, you know, that can shoot the basketball. But they're elite. I mean, when I tell you elite, and they have been since he's been there. So it's not just this year's team. They've been one of the top defensive teams in the country in steals and being in their gap, and they're tough as nails. You know, just a really competitive, you know, basketball team, and he's a really competitive coach.
And you're talking about their physicality, and something that just popped into my head. I did not like the way the game against Illinois was officiated the other night at all. That having been said, if this team's going to be physical, you're going to see officials that you're not familiar with now, because while you're playing teams from the Big Ten nonstop, you're also seeing, I feel like, the same 9 referees essentially all season long. How, I guess it's like anything. It's going to take you a few minutes to kind of get used to them and see how they're calling the game, right? And then you adjust from that point.
I mean, really, I mean, how games are ref'd there in the NCAA tournament, every time I've been fortunate enough to be in it, these refs are trying to move on, and they're trying to get every call right. And, you know, a lot of times that dictates the game, you know. So it's always, no one ever factors that in. Everyone will give you the scouting report. You got to stop this guy, or you got to stop their interior offense, or you got to stop their perimeter or their transition defense. How the game's being officiated is a huge part of, you know, these games, and we have to adjust how the game's being. And this is during, you know, the NCAA tournament, when everything's a heightened awareness of everything. So it will be challenging. I'll talk to our team a lot about that leading into the game. When we defend without fouling, our success rate is sky high. And it's an important part of, you know, us winning games. And so it'll be an important part of, you know, this game too.
And I think, and I don't expect you or want you to comment, but I think that's what was so frustrating calling Friday night's game, is that you've got certain plays where guys are killing each other. Nothing's called. And then they got these little touch. It's frustrating. I can only imagine your frustration on the sideline as you're right in front of it. A couple more for Steve Peichel. This portion of the Steve Peichel podcast brought to you by All American Ford in Old Bridge, the number one Ford dealership in New Jersey. Shop online at allamericanfordinoldbridge.com. All right, you've been around this team for 5 years. Obviously, the players come and go. What do you think the emotions will be like for yourself, for sure, but also for your team as you get set and you're warming up Friday night at 9 p.m. and then when the ball goes up at 9:20?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you treat these games, I mean, you're prepared for it. You've played a lot of games this season against really good basketball teams. You're always emotional, but you got to control your emotions in these kind of games and keep the guys focused on what's important. And I want the guys to have fun. You're going to have to play hard. You're going to have to play well, because that's the way it is. And I don't want to put the uniforms up. So there's a lot of teams that have already folded them up and they're over for the year. There's 350, you know, three teams start the season off and, you know, there's not a lot of teams left. So we want to keep this season going as long as we can. We have six great seniors, you know, that have done a lot for our program and everyone else too in it. And we want to ride this journey as long as we can. So talk a lot about that and not so much about, you know, the emotions and, you know, I could reflect yesterday when it was of all the people that have done an unbelievable job of getting our program to this place. And, you know, and I'm a small fraction of that whole thing. So, you know, you think about those people, you're thankful for them. And now you hope you can take advantage of the journey.
Well, I will disagree a little bit with that premise because I think it starts at the top with yourself and Pat Hobbs. And I think you guys have been just amazing. And what you've done at Rutgers has been outstanding. And to me, it's still just the beginning as this program is still on the ascent. Really looking forward to Friday night. Appreciate your time. I know you're stuck in the hotel room, but soon enough, you'll be out. Go enjoy it. And we're looking forward to a victory on Friday night. Thanks, Coach.
Jerry, you're the best. Thanks for having me.
This has been the Steve Peichel Podcast brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health.